Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Yeah, welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast here in the West End of Brisbane. Also, pay my respects to elders past and present, and a shout out to all the TOs right across the country where our program goes out to. It's wonderful to have your company. Well, of course, we've been highlighting the ongoing and systematic racism within the Queensland Police Service. We yarned with Richard Monet last week, who sensationally quit the police force after 26 years in his role. I received an email, came through from a gentleman by the name of David McClelland, and he's with us on the phone today. Good morning to you, David. Where are you from? Who's your mob, your country? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name's David McClelland. I'm a proud Wiradjuri man. I'm from Ningen in New South Wales originally, and I currently live at Bribie Island in Queensland.
You're a listener to AAA and to the show?
I certainly am, yeah, all the time, every day.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Your email came through. I didn't receive it until this morning, but it struck me that you've been going through you went through the exact same thing as Richard and have been sitting on this for a little while. Can you share with our listeners the reason for reaching out and what you're putting that email to me?
Yeah, the reason I did reach out is I was just listening to Richie and I just absolutely started breaking down in the car. My wife had to console me and my PTSD just really kicked in and so I just thought, I really have to do this. And as I said to you in the email, my biggest regret is never, ever reaching out to Richie and speaking to him because, you know, he came to our graduation and he did say to me at the graduation for the Queensland Police that, here's my number. If you need anything while you're in the service or anything at all, just give me a call. And I've currently lost his number, but while I was in the police service, I just never reached out to him and I've experienced so much racism and I was just so scared.
Tell us about your journey with the Queensland Police Service. How did you get involved?
Yep. Well, I joined in 2005. I did a justice entry program up here in Queensland. And that enabled me to get 6 months' worth of knowledge in the Queensland Police Service Academy environment. And that was really good. I must say that they were all very helpful. They did everything they could to get us through that program and enable us to become qualified to become Queensland police officers. I then went through the academy for 6 months, graduated, and then went to Redcliffe, was where I did my first year constable program. Mm. And basically from day one, the senior sergeant there just had it in for me. I, again, like Richie, was never allowed to drive the police cars, was always put either at the desk duty or if I had to go out with another officer, that, you know, I wasn't working. I was just giving the worst of jobs that I could possibly get. Mm.
What was his justification for these tasks? Not being able to drive, sitting on desk duty. What was his reasoning behind that?
His reasoning behind that was he actually tabled two reports, which I found out to be false, that all of my colleagues thought that I smelt because I was an Aboriginal, that I didn't bath, and that I had bad breath. So they refused to work with me, according to my senior sergeant.
And this is in Redcliffe?
This is at Redcliffe, yes. Mm. This is in 2006, 2007, that time period. Mm-hmm. Right the way through until 2009, when I felt that I had to transfer, because at that time we were told that we needed to transfer to Townsville. They were picking people randomly, and I just thought, there is no way I'm not getting randomly chosen. I will be chosen. You know, he wants me out of here. So, that went from 2007 to 2009.
And you lobbed into Townsville.
Yeah, and I couldn't handle any more of the crap, basically, at Redcliffe. So I went to Townsville, and I copped more of the same at Townsville. For the first week, I was with a sergeant at Townsville, and I thought, that's okay. You know, they're showing me the around because I've never been there. I didn't know where I was. And then a week after that week, I continued to work with this sergeant who drove, and I was not allowed to drive at all. And I got every single job that was there because the sergeant didn't do any work. He made me do everything.
Wow.
So I was back to square one. I was being racially vilified again.
Were you in a position to speak up? Because we've heard from Richie, like, yeah, you know, the word racism is a word you don't use in the halls of police stations. Is that the same scenario for you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's basically just suck it up, you know. There's nothing wrong. And my problem was, though, at Redcliffe, was that it was my senior sergeant that was giving me the racism.
Yeah.
So where I had no idea on where else I could turn. I thought, if I go above him, I'm gone for sure. There is just no way in the world I can tell anyone what's going on. He's my senior sergeant.
And trying to prove it, I suppose, as well, would be...
Well, that's it. And when I find out later, after I've left the police service, that this senior sergeant has put in false complaints and that these officers weren't saying what they were saying, I was just made to feel that way. It was just shocking.
Was there any other blackfella coppers at Redcliffe or in Townsville?
No. Funnily enough, I was the only one at Redcliffe.
Yeah.
So I got the feeling that he didn't like Aboriginal people. So when I first came out of the academy, he knew everything about me. He knew who I was, where I was from, what race I was. From that day one, he just had it in for me.
Was it isolated to these two individuals, or was it widespread throughout the stations at Redcliffe and Townsville?
Well, Townsville, I didn't know of any other Aboriginal police officers there. The liaison officer spoke to me quite nicely, and you know, we got along really, really well, obviously. And I had no idea if there were any other Aboriginal coppers there. There were none on my team. And whenever I was with a team member or the sergeant, and I attended any of the Indigenous people up there for a job, I spoke to them really nicely. I cared because they're my people. So I tried to help them as best I could, even if they were on the wrong end of the law. Yeah. I still tried to reach out to them and help them. And there's the sergeant, and that thought that was wrong. They needs to pull me aside and go, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not the way you speak to these people.
How were they, you know, these white coppers, how are they conversing with the mob on the street?
They pull them, they bash them, they just treat them like dirt. I tried to speak to them as nice as I could. I did everything I could because I knew that was me. How would I want to be treated? And, you know, in the watch house, even at Redcliffe, they pulled in some people, a black guy, into the watch house, and they beat the absolute crap out of him. And I just stood there, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
You're listening to Let's Talk on AAA Murray Country. I'm Yarnum with David McClelland, former Queensland police officer, who contacted us via email after hearing Richie's story. Speaking of the watch house, the audio that was leaked, just horrendous, you know, the most disgusting, vile things that could come out of a human being's mouth, and they're being spoken openly in a police watch house.
Mm-hmm. It's went on back when I was with the police service. I went to the watch house worked at the watch house at Townsville, and it was happening there as well. It just wasn't recorded there because at that time we didn't have the recordings and the things that they have in the watch houses now. So at that point in time, things were even worse.
Worse than talking about burying blackfellas.
If you had any of the blackfellas in there, they would just say, you know, don't worry about the dogs. It's just so upsetting to think about it now. It just brings me to tears. Just remember, I think I block a lot of it out because I've got PTSD these days. And it really, every time I hear something about it, it just brings more and more back.
Have you spoken about this before?
No, Daniel, the first person, and as I said, when I heard of Richie, and it just really flooded a whole heap of things, a whole heap of memories back to me, and I thought, I really, really need to get it out there. This has gone on too long. This racism and the way that the Aboriginal people are treated, like on one hand, they say they want Aboriginal people in the QPS, and then on the other hand, when they get there, they treat them like absolute animals. It's just, we're not even treated the same, especially general duties. We're not treated the same.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. It's one that needs to be heard. I think it was an interesting point that Richie made, that they need our mob in the police force, and they're rolled out at NAIDOC and Mabo Day, like a bit of China, and then it goes back in the cupboard.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they didn't even, in Redcliffe, we weren't allowed to celebrate NAIDOC Day. We weren't allowed to even mention Aboriginal people. It definitely needs to be in there. I mean, we're in 2022, and we need Aboriginal people. We need Indigenous people in there, and we need to be represented. We just need the white people to stop giving us a hard time and treat us equally.
Did you have any dealings with the commissioner?
I had no dealings with Katerina at that time. She wasn't the commissioner. It was actually Bob Atkinson. Mm-hmm. And there was no way I could get an email to Bob at that time. And as I said, I was way too scared to even go above my senior sergeant's head. I thought that I would be absolutely vilified beyond belief. I was so scared.
Are you fearful of reprisals or repercussions for speaking out now?
Look, there could be, because the senior sergeant, I know he's gone, but I know that they all still talk together and they all still play golf and things together, and they all still have people in the police service together. But the story needs to be told. And by telling my story, I hope I help somebody.
Well, you mentioned that you lost Richie's number, but I'm going to get you in contact with him, because you both have a shared history with this organisation that, I'm sure you can help each other through.
Yeah, well, that would be wonderful, Dan. That would be more than great. You know, I'd very much appreciate that.
No worries. And if anyone from the Queensland Police Service is listening, we'd love to have a chat with you. I've reached out to a number of people. I keep hitting roadblocks. Is that not surprising at all, David? That I can't get a right of reply from anyone.
That doesn't surprise me at all. They would like to sweep this under the carpet and pretend it's not happening, which is they've done for a good 20, 30 years now. It doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, we won't be sweeping it under the carpet. We won't be going away. This is an issue that needs to be heard and needs to be addressed in the proper manner. Seeing people like Richie and yourself go through what they've gone through, and Richie, you both to lose your careers, yeah, it's not on.
No, that's exactly right. And as I said, if we can help anybody by coming out and talking about this, that would be wonderful. It's just, it needs to be out there. And by having all these inquiries and things, nothing's being said, nothing's being done about it afterwards. It's just they have an inquiry and then they just go, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Well, I appreciate you, as I said, David, for sharing your story with us for the first time. Hopefully it brings you, some closure and potentially, could lead to, those yarns with Richie as well, hooking you guys back up.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Yeah, it has been very good. And I'm so glad, Dan, that you reached out to me with that email. And I feel a lot better having said what I've said.
No, I commend your courage, David, and I appreciate your time today on Let's Talk. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
David McClelland, the former Queensland police officer, who, of course, like Richard Manet, had to leave due to the ongoing and systematic racism that exists still to this day in the Queensland Police Service. That's our show for today. Thank you very much for your company. You can catch up at our website, triplea.org.au. Bye for now.